Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
ESPN's Teron Davenport. Talking Titans. Now. On Robbie and Rex Road. On ESPN. 102.5 The Game. And the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. Every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, we are joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. And this is TD's time of year to shine. Well, actually, every time of year is TD's time of year to shine. But we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome him into the program. TD, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, good morning, man. I'm doing well. And like you said, you can grind to shine. So let's do it.
Let's do it. So, TD, we are right around the corner from free agency with the legal tampering period opening on Monday. Then next Wednesday, free agency kicks off. So I guess just for starters, number one, how active do you expect the Titans to be, and what do you make of this year's crop of free agents?
Yeah, well, I mean, they've said multiple times they're going to be selective, and so that means like, if they have a guy and he's their target and they miss, they're not going to just quickly move to the next one and overspend on that guy. So I think it's going to be a matter of adding some low-cost free agents. They may one or two, apparently, per Cam Wolf. They're in on Javon Holland. I don't know about spending that much on the safety, but we'll see what happens. So I think it's going to be just one of those types of periods where it's different from last year because they don't have to spend the money as much as last year. They have somewhat of a foundation built.
So if there's one guy, because obviously we've talked previously, we were in agreement, you know, Trey Smith was a guy who would have been worth pursuing. I think the Chiefs, if anybody had doubts on that, you know, I think look at what the Chiefs have done. You know, I mean, that would have been, to me, a very good signing. If there's one guy in this period at any position that you would be like, boom, that's a slam dunk, who would it be?
You know, there aren't any real high-end guys that I feel would just be an automatic, hey, you got to go get them. But Morgan Moses, to me, and I know that's not exciting to Titans fans, but it should be because that will help shore up that right side of the offensive line. Morgan Moses, that right tackle, it seems like that's going to be a target that they're going to go after. And, you know, Stillman and I, we've been the last two free agency cycles, you know, we've been kind of saying, hey, not kind of, we've been literally saying, hey, go get him, go get him, go get him. I know he's older, but I think I'm pretty sure that's a guy they're going to have some interest in, that right tackle.
So, TD, even prior to you pointing this out on Twitter yesterday that I saw, we've talked about this kind of heading into the offseason, but for NWI, it's going to be really fascinating to see what he gets as free agency opens up. And you brought up, you know, the Tutu Atwell contract yesterday. How do you view NWI, where things stand with him, and the interest level that you think he might get out there in free agency?
Yeah, I think he is going to get interest. Now, I will say Tutu Atwell, you're talking about like a speed demon. You know, he's a guy that brings that speed, and everybody desires speed. But guess what? Everybody desires guys that can score touchdowns. And we saw what NWI could do last year with those 9 touchdowns. And then the versatility that he brings, he can play all 3 receiver positions and double as an arrow guy, you know, a gunner as well. So you have those. I think he's going to get some interest. I know the Titans, you know, that $8 to $10 million range, they'll go ahead and pass. I'm curious if he'll get that. I mean, you look at Atwell getting the $10 million. I mean, I would think that NWI would be able to get something, you know, along those lines. But he said that he wanted to stay. I talked to him at Locker Cleanout, and he really said and expressed, you know, his desire to stay here. He talked about how, you know, he got married here. He grew up as a man here. His pretty much circle is here. He talked about, you know, he has a family here. You know, he just had a child last year. So there's a lot going on for him here in Nashville. And we all know, you know, we moved here from other places and we fell in love with the city, and he's no different. So we'll see what happens. But I wouldn't be surprised if he moves on.
See, that's the thing. It's, you know, Stilley was talking earlier about the Titans tax, which I get. I mean, if you're as bad as the Titans have been, that's true. But I actually do think that people they sometimes win battles because of Nashville. But on the on the Sam Darnold front, TD, how do you view the Sam Darnold situation in terms of, like, do you feel like, first of all, I think your opinion of him, like, I have a higher opinion of him than you do. I think your opinion of him is more in line with what the league apparently thinks of him, because the market apparently is just not as robust as I know I thought it would be for him. But what's your view on him, how it will turn out? Do you feel like the Vikings ultimately end up back with him through all this? Like, where do you think this goes?
There's a chance, but I know during the year last year, and this was before the debacle against the Lions and before the Rams loss, I know, you know, from talking to Kevin Seifert, he said that they were pretty much all in on J.J. McCarthy the following season, which is what we're going to be in as of Wednesday, right? The 2025 league year starts. So I look at it this way. Look, Darnold is solid. I think he's a solid quarterback. I think he could help you win. But I don't see you winning because of him. And you win because of guys that you pay $45 to $55 million. And when I look at the whole big picture, just like I explained to Jarrett yesterday, and this is the way the Titans are looking at it, right? You have, you know, a $45 million, $50 million quarterback, right? And that's somebody that if you have him, you got to give up opportunities to sign, you know, two or three players. You know, it could be a Justin Reed at safety, a Nick Bolton at linebacker, whatever, something along those lines, right? And if you sign a guy at $30 million and are able to add those players, are you better than if you sign Darnold at $45 to $50 and can't add the players? And that's really the question you have to ask yourself. And I don't believe, I'm pretty sure, actually, that the Titans are on the first, where he's not the guy that they could go ahead and sacrifice being able to add two or three, you know, foundational type of players and still win. So that's kind of the way they're looking at it. $30 million, from what I understand, is like where they would go, you know, like a shorter to mid term type of deal, you know, 2-3 years. I think the league is still not sure about Darnold. And I tell you this, the Vikings themselves are not sure about Darnold. You know why? If they were sure, they would have tagged him. He put the numbers up in their scheme, and they're not making the all-out effort to retain him. I think that says a lot.
So you would, and I totally hear that. I also, like, to me, if I had a chance at Darnold at like 30, I mean, like, we also could be talking about Levis and Mac Jones. Like, I don't see how any Titans fan could, or whatever, right? Like, if they don't draft someone and they don't go after Darnold, like, all of a sudden it gets pretty slim, right? Like, would you do Darnold at 30?
For like 2 years. Yeah, I would do that. And then just kind of tuck it away and keep the quarterback position in mind, like do some strong homework, you know, on that Marcell Reese class and say, okay, look, man, you know, we're going to look to go all out on this group in 2 years. I don't know that Darnold is a long-term fix. And it's so crazy because the ties, the similarities for Mike Borgonzi, I mean, he was with the Chiefs assistant GM. They had the number one pick. The quarterback class, the top of it was Geno Smith and EJ Manuel. And now, you know, I'm not saying these guys are the same quarterback, but they're being, you know, looked at as like the same level of prospect, you know, in Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, right? And then you had a 27-year-old former top three pick in Alex Smith that they were able to obtain, and they knew their plan, and Alex Smith was cool about it as far as like, hey, look, you know I got 2-3 years, and then I'm probably going to have to train my replacement, and he did it. And Mike Borgonzi, he told me that it takes a special kind of guy to do that. So if they go to 2-3 year plan, it's like, okay, do you believe that Darnold, who's also 27, who's also a former top pick, and a guy who, you know, turned his career around, do you feel that he's the same type of person, type of leader, type of teammate as Alex Smith is? And that's really going to be the question. And if that is the case, then yeah, I would rock out for 2-3 years, $30 million, let's have it, and then just go ahead and figure out what you're going to do in the future.
TD, last thing for you here. You know, it's always interesting this time of year because, you know, this time last year, TD, the conversation coming out of the combine was, man, is Drake May going to fall? Like, is Drake May's stock falling? And then he goes third overall, and we know what's happened since then. You got all the Shadur stuff this week of, you know, like, McShay putting it out there that he's heard from people that, like, Shadur didn't seem all that interested in the interviews and stuff like that. Like, what do you make of, like, if you're a Titans fan listening to all this, what's real, what's not real this time of year, and how you kind of read in between the lines of all this stuff?
Yeah, you know, if I was Shadur, I'd change my last name to Smith or Johnson or something, because you know, that poor guy, being a Sanders, is like a curse in the NFL media world. Whoever that team is that Tal Machey is referencing, like, how do we know that's not a team with the 17th overall pick? And Shador's like, yo, why the hell am I in here? Like, I'm going top 10. Like, why am I in here? How do we know that's not the case? But all I do know is that there are clips floating around out there where you look at the one, I forget, I think it was NBC set he was on. You know, it was supposed to be like a quick 3-4 minute. They had him for 10 minutes when he was done, and it was no problem staying at the 8 to 7 extra minutes. He got up and he shook everybody's hand on the set, including the producers. And then I watched him go from set to set, serious to, you know, NFL and to, you know, some of the other ones. And he was real cool about it, shook everybody's hands, you know, gave a couple people hugs, and then even took interviews walking in between, which the prospects are not commanded to do. It's their choice. And then he stopped at the end and he did one with Josina Anderson. And before he ducked away, a young lady named Karita Parks from Baltimore, who covers the Ravens, she had a couple questions and he stayed and did that. I say all that to say, if he's going to show that much interest in all of them, including someone who's not a major outlet, I for sure believe that he is going to show interest in an NFL team report. So, I mean, a lot of these random things that you get, it's anonymous. And I think if you're going to say something damning like that about a prospect, you need to put your name on it. That's just my opinion. But it is what it is, and that's what happens this season.
TD, it's going to be fun next week. NFL free agency, always fun. Looking forward to having you on and talking about it throughout the week next week here on our station. And enjoy the weekend, my friend. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, for sure. Buckle up because, it looks like it's going to be interesting.
Yes, it does. Teron Davenport, our guest, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. We'll react to what TD had to say. We've got weekend winners coming up at 8:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rextra, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today for Vanderbilt women's basketball as the number 8-seeded Commodores take on number 1-seed South Carolina in the SEC women's basketball tournament. Tip-off at 11 a.m. Pregame will begin at 10:45. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 949thefan.com. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Speaking of, Joe, nice win for Vanderbilt women's basketball yesterday against Tennessee. My goodness.
Yeah, first time ever that Vanderbilt has won two games against Tennessee in women's basketball in the same season. They went 2-0. First of all, it's ridiculous, by the way. I know these leagues get out of hands huge, but they should always – Vanderbilt and Tennessee should play each other twice in basketball, men's basketball, women's basketball. So there's a little side, little mini rant. But, now Michaela Blakes went nuts in the second half. Ayanna Moore, Camille Pierre, they got a heck of a trio. Lady Vols here faded. They had a really bad loss to Georgia, too. Yep. I still think they're dangerous. I mean, this is a team we've seen beat UConn. But, you know, they're not going to be a top four seed. Both of these teams, I believe, are going to start the NCAA tournament on the road. Tennessee probably is a 5 seed. Vanderbilt maybe is like a 6-7. Vanderbilt does get South Carolina today. But, yeah, it was very impressive on the Vanderbilt front, man. I mean, Michaela Blakes is a cheat code. And it's just going to be so much fun to watch her progress here through the years. And I know, actually, I've seen some Vol Twitter, Robbie. Now, this is Vol Twitter that I approve of because it's – But they had a I think it was like Michaela Blake's. Well, she won freshman year of the SEC. She's right there for national too. But someone, a member of All Twitter, had then put a picture of Kim Caldwell and said, "Michaela Blake's, you are a Lady Vol."
Yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine that? Tennessee comes in and swoops in and takes her back to Knoxville. I have my doubts that'll happen, but I like the sentiment. I like it.
Diana Rossini putting this out there that the Raiders are exploring veteran quarterback options on the free agent and trade market. And that includes the possibility of trading for a current starting quarterback. Joe, with that in mind, I mean, it brings to mind something Charles said yesterday of like the idea of trading for Geno Smith from the Seahawks. I mean, look, obviously, whether it's DK Metcalf, Geno Smith, like people are going to make the Pete Carroll connection to Seattle, so I get that. But if that's the way that the Raiders choose to go on the veteran quarterback market, number one, I mean, it's probably not good news for the Titans if they're looking to trade back and have people fight over each other for Cam Ward. But number two, like I would be interested to see who the Raiders would target in free agency or via trade. The Geno Smith thing was interesting that Charles Robinson threw out there.
Yeah, look, that's super interesting. And then what's Seattle's corresponding move?
Right.
That's what I'm here for, is like the, because we talk about all the same names over and over and over again, but can we get like a trade that you did? Like, remember the earth-shaking Russell Wilson move that, you know, was supposed to shift the balance of power to Denver, and apparently none of us realized that he was, you know, halfway to buns. I guess that means one bun. I don't know.
He was a singular bun.
He was a single bun. Not quite buns, but one bun. But that's what I'm here for. We need something like that. And I'm here for a little Geno Smith and DK Metcalf, humongous trade, and all of a sudden Vegas is a way more interesting team to watch.
Yeah, I mean, Geno is, you know, we talk about him when we're talking about reclamation quarterbacks. Like he's in an interesting spot right now. Like if you're him, you got to be thinking, okay, so you're releasing Tyler Lockett, which that one I get. But if they end up trading DK Metcalf, it's like, geez, can't wait to play quarterback for you guys next year. I'm just going to target Jackson Smith and Jigba 500 times out there this year.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, yeah, remind me, so Lockett just got released, right?
He's released, yes.
32 years old. What's the what's the viability of Tyler Lockett at this point?
I mean, it feels like it started to go the other way pretty quickly on him. Like, you know, there's a time where he's a pretty productive receiver. I'm looking at his numbers from last year. I mean, 49 catches, 600 yards, 2 touchdowns, 12.2 yards per reception. I don't know. I mean, that kind of different type of guys, different players, but it kind of screams like Tyler Boyd to me right now.
Yeah, you get it. Yeah, I mean, he's obviously different. Yeah, I mean, different type of player. He's always been a speed guy. That's the thing, though. When you're that and you right. get to 32 and the production, and Smith and Jigba started to, like, become a more important part of the offense, that is one of those probably just, yeah, just buyer beware. Like, know when to hold them, know when to fold them. And not when to sign someone when they're on the back half, on the back nine.
615-737-1035.
A lot of bad analogies there. Kenny Rogers in golf.
Hey, by the way, Joe, you know, you talk about the NFL Combine. It's your second favorite football part of the year has gotten underway too. College football spring practice. Sparks is out there tweeting some drills from Tennessee football. Spring practice number one. David Sanders out there going through some pass sets.
Oh, yeah.
Nice stuff.
I'll check it out. Yes.
Get excited.
I'm here for all these coaches canceling their spring games because people can't scout their players. Let's do it across the sport.
We'll have weekend winners coming up next. Got a lot of games to get to this weekend. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you now on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Last week, I would say an average to slightly below average week for us. I went 3-3 with my lock. Rex Road 3-3 with his lock. Keys are 2-4 with his locks. The locks were good last week. We did a nice job locking down on things. The overall standings, Robbie Stanley in first place, 7-5 overall, 2-0 with my locks, 9 points. Rex Rhodes, 6-6, 2-0 in his locks, 8 points. Keys are 5-7, 1-1 on his locks, 6 points. With that in mind, we get to a busy weekend in the world of sports. And we begin, Joe, with Vanderbilt and Georgia. Vanderbilt going on the road for this one. I start on this. Give me Vanderbilt to get a nice win on the road before SEC tournament play begins. Get a little confidence going heading into the tournament. I think they get the dub. Give me Vanderbilt on the road. Joe Rexroad, who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Georgia. I really love how they're playing lately, including a massive win over Florida last week. And Florida is, I think, as scary as anybody out there when they play well. Georgia is playing themselves into pretty close to lock status, and I think they keep it going at home against Vanderbilt.
Keys are Vanderbilt and Georgia, and an interesting one coming up on Saturday. Who you got in this one?
Yeah, I've been encouraged by their play, too. I did get some bits and pieces of that game against Florida. But, yeah, I just think it's a little too much for Vandy to end the season. So give me the Bulldogs this weekend.
Going with Georgia against Vanderbilt. South Carolina and Tennessee. Now, Joe, I feel like this one, there's not really a line yet, but we're making one up because South Carolina is buns. So we're going Tennessee, -10.5 is the line you've thrown out there. Who you got, Joe?
Vols lock.
Wow.
And let me, I will say, you know, South Carolina has a terrible record. South Carolina is, I'd love to see South Carolina in the ACC. They'd be like 12-6 in the ACC. I mean, they actually have a pretty good freaking team. They blew out Arkansas recently. They almost beat Auburn, almost beat Florida, blah, 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 on and on and on. But I do think Tennessee's got to be ticked off after the way the Ole Miss game went. It's senior day for Zakai Ziegler and Jemiah Mashek. I think they're going to come out with their hair on fire.
SEC homer Joe Rexroad, Nick Keyser, yes, Vols -10.5.
Yes, against the Fighting Elijah Campbells. I'm going to go with Tennessee in this one.
Going with the Vols. Give me South Carolina. I think Tennessee wins, but I think it'll be South Carolina +10.5. Tennessee wins by 9 in this game. Joe, what do you think of that?
Okay. I mean, I think that absolutely. It could be, you know, it's one of those things you're up 14 and then you put in the bench with a minute to go and they hit a couple three. You know, I mean, that's why betting can be a risky proposition.
Yes, it can. The Predators, who are all of a sudden red hot, playing the Chicago Blackhawks this weekend, who they've had a great deal of success against over the past few years until their most recent game where they did not have success. Nick Keyser, Predators and Blackhawks, who you got?
Yeah, it's their last game against them this year, and I frankly think that they keep the win streak going. 3-game win streak, and the Preds beat the Blackhawks after the deadline. How different will the team look? I guess we'll have to find out.
I will go with the Nashville Predators as well, which, Joe, if they win this game, some fans are going to be looking around saying, what are you guys doing? What's going on around here? But I think they're going to win. I think they're going to make it 3 in a row. Who you got between the Predators and the Hawks?
Yep, me too. Making a clean sweep. They're screwing it up. Good job, Preds. Way to screw it up. Start losing again.
We'll see. So, I mean, kind of a big game for the Tank at Bridgestone Arena coming up this weekend. So we'll see what happens on that front. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
Little Big Ten action tonight, which means we actually have a line on it. Purdue at Illinois. Illinois -4.5. I think it's actually going to be a really good game. Illinois had a huge win, blown out Michigan last weekend, which, by the way, helped our associate executive assistant producer, Tom Izzo, win the outright Big Ten championship last night at Iowa, which kind of stinks. Because Michigan State means nothing Sunday now, other than just trying to bludgeon the Wolverines. But Purdue at Illinois -4.5. I think Purdue on the road makes it a great game. Maybe wins it outright, but I definitely like them with the points.
We're going +4.5 against Illinois on the road. I like it. Nick Keyser, your first individual selection.
Yeah, thought of this team last night, and they made a trade. Brock Nelson goes to the Colorado Avalanche, and Colorado will be playing the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday. And I think that Colorado will be winning this one and make it my lock as I get this started for our own picks.
Leafs -1.5.
I'd have to see who's favored in it. Where's the game?
I don't know if there's a line for it yet. I looked at all the NHL options on there, but I know that they're playing. Well,
they're all 1.5.
Okay, there you go.
But I just need to know. I don't know who's favorite. It's not showing it on my app right now. Well, I believe Colorado's probably favorite. So we'll go Colorado minus the 1.5 against the Leafs.
Makes sense.
There you go. My first individual selection. Give me the Vegas Golden Knights minus 1.5 against the Pittsburgh Penguins. The curse of Tommy Novak. Vegas comes in there. They win by 3 goals against Pittsburgh in Novak and Shen's debut for the Penguins. Pittsburgh's been sitting around for a couple days in Vegas. Generally speaking, not a good recipe. So we'll go Vegas minus the 1.5. Nick Kieser, your second individual selection.
Yep, staying in the NHL. This could be a team that's active today. They're kind of in scuttlebutt, you know, conversation from Mikko Rantanen. So give me the Dallas Stars over the Oilers on Saturday.
Where's that game?
Where is it? I believe, yes. Believe it's in Edmonton.
Well, we got to know who's the favorite in these games. Got to know what the line looks like. We're not just picking NHL games straight up.
He keeps trying to do this.
I know.
But I was looking too. I did my research on who was playing, and then I checked FanDuel, and I couldn't find those lines for hockey.
With that game, whoever's at home is minus 1.5, right? I mean, that's what
sure,
it is.
Sure, yeah.
I would say so.
Where is it? You do know where it is.
From what I remember, it was Edmonton.
I know that we our crack research team can figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll figure it out. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Okay, now, speaking of lines, you guys can jump in here and let me know. But Alabama-Auburn, the rematch, Auburn won the first game. It's at Auburn. So I can put Auburn minus. You guys can set the line with me. I'm picking Auburn. I feel like it's a pick 'em quality game. But if you want me to – okay. All right. So give me War Eagle after their also disappointing loss to Texas A&M. They're also going to be ticked off. I like ticked off teams.
Give me the Memphis Grizzlies minus 11 against the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks are beaten down. Kyrie's hurt. AD's hurt. They traded away Luka. Memphis an 11-point favorite. I think they cover. Give me Memphis minus 11 and make it my lock. I'm locking down on the Grizz. Mavs. Just going through the motions out there. Keys are your final individual selection.
I hate to be vanilla here. I looked at that game too. I'm going to take the Grizzlies as well. And yes, I was right. Edmonton is at home.
Well, that's good to know. Now we'll figure out if they're the favorite or not, but good to know. Grizzlies minus the 11 against the Mavs. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
All right, Sunday. Allen Arena, Lipscomb. A-Sun Championship game. North Alabama at Lipscomb. A-Sun Championship, 1 o'clock, ESPN2. Both teams 24-9. Both teams, I believe, 14-4 in the league. It's the top two teams. Lipscomb had to come back to beat Queens to get to this game. If you love college basketball and you live around here, I would suggest checking it out, trying to get in there. It's going to be an amazing atmosphere. I covered a Lipscomb Liberty game a few years ago, and Casey Alexander was at Lipscomb. It was an incredible game. Liberty ended up winning that game. Give me the Lipscomb Bisons to win that game and get the automatic bid to the NCAA tournament.
Nice. Very nice. I'm returning to the NBA. Give me the Minnesota Timberwolves minus 5.5 tonight. That gets my beloved Miami Heat. The Heat, very inconsistent. They're not going to stop Minnesota. Give me the T-Wolves minus the 5.5 against Miami. And a very disappointing season for my Miami Heat.
I'm sorry.
You're not. You got Jimmy Butler now, and apparently Golden State's going to be right there with L.A. In the final in the Western Conference.
Oh, baby.
Let's see what happens on that front. Final thoughts on the NHL trading deadline, which is today. We'll get to the latest on that. What could the Predators have in store before 2 o'clock Central Time today? Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. Join us trade deadline day in the NHL. And the Predators have already made some moves this week. Nyquist was traded last Saturday to Minnesota. And then, of course, Novak and Luke Shen traded to the Pittsburgh Penguins on Wednesday. So the question is there anything more coming today for the Predators and for Barry Trotz, whether that's a Michael McCarron, a Colton Sissons. Does somebody make an offer that Trotz can't refuse on Ryan O'Reilly? As we sit here today, Joe, with the trade deadline today at 2 p.m. Central Time, what's your expectation, your view on how today could go for Nashville?
Yeah, I kind of feel, if I had to make a prediction right now, I would predict that someone will overpay for Michael McCarron and that they will move him, and that will be that. That's my prediction for the day. Michael McCarron, you have mentioned a second-round pick. I think you have to do that if you're the Preds, if it gets to that. Would you do a third for Michael McCarron?
I'd consider it. Yeah, I mean, I think you got to weigh the cost of, like, again, next year, somebody's got to play center. So, like, do you have people that you feel like can play in those third and fourth line roles at center? Like, is that where Svechkov's playing next year? Is he a third line center for you? And Sissons is a fourth line center? If so, like, who's your first and second line center? Like, there's a lot you got to figure out your pecking order there of your plan of what that's going to look like. But yeah, I'd consider it for a third round pick. Second round pick, I'm not hesitating.
Yeah. So I think I can see, I can see how he would be appealing, you know, for a certain team that needs something like that. You pointed out earlier, Colton Sissons is so versatile. I mean, he's definitely also a guy that the team going looking for a playoff push just needs another, you know, like, versatile, solid player that you can use in a lot of different roles. But I'm just going to predict that he is a lifer with the Nashville Predators, Colton okay. Sissons.
All right. I could see that. I could see that. Yeah, like, I guess I would be surprised today if they traded both of them, like if McCarron and Sissons are both gone. Now, is that like some – can you recover from that if you do that? Yeah, I think you can next year. But I still think Trotz probably would love to have one of them around for next season and then just kind of shuffle your lineup after that. But, yeah, like I think one of those guys, there's a good chance they could get traded today. Like O'Reilly, I don't see happening. Like there were reports out there last night that New Jersey's interested in O'Reilly. And I don't know. I just think the offer for him would have to be – astronomical for Barry Trotz to consider it. And is there a team that's willing to go like super high? Like yesterday we talked about, you know, some people threw out the idea of a first round pick. Like to me, it would have to be more than a first round pick for the Predators to move O'Reilly. It would probably be a first round pick and a prospect that they feel pretty good about, or a young NHL player that they feel pretty good about. Other than that, I don't know that Barry Trotz is going to consider it all that much, just based on the people that I've talked to.
Yeah, makes sense. But if you do get that, you get a first-round pick and you get, like, a player or a high-level prospect, yeah, right, you know, right? You got to
think about it.
Yeah, you got to think about it. He's not getting any younger. Nobody is.
Right. In a perfect world, he's probably a second-line guy now, right? He's probably your second-line center, and I still think it's going to be really challenging for them to find somebody as soon as next season that's ready to supplant him as the number one guy. Like, let's say the draft falls their way and they end up getting one of one of these kids in Misa and Hagans. Like, are those guys ready to play first line minutes next year? I have my doubts about that. Probably ready to play in the NHL, but you're probably not ready to play first line minutes. So, like, I still think part of what's going to be interesting here, not only today, but as they move into the offseason of, does Barry Trotz have the ability to go get a legitimate guy who can play in a number one center role? And maybe you are taking a big risk on a guy when you do that. It's hard to imagine via trade you not taking a risk on a guy if they're available like that. But I still think ultimately that's probably what needs to happen is for O'Reilly, as good as I think he still is, probably needs to downshift and be your second line center.
Right. And that, of course, Trotz, from the day of signing, put that out there as one of the things that he really likes about the signing is that at some point that was going to happen. It's about time.
Yeah. We'll
see. You got to have answers. Got to have other players.
Yep. Some big moves being made in the Predators division. Brock Nelson gets traded from the Islanders to the Avalanche last night. Now he's on an expiring contract, so we'll see what that looks like. He's also 33 years old. So is that a long-term answer for Colorado? I'm not sure. But I do think it's a really good player for Colorado in the short term that makes them as formidable as anybody in the Western Conference. And there's been a lot of chatter over the last 12 hours or so about Miko Rantanen being traded from Carolina to Dallas. It kind of looks like that's falling apart at the moment. I guess they're trying to piece together a long-term contract with him. And based on some reporting from Darren Drager and Chris Johnson, that's not going very well at the moment. So Carolina may be forced to pivot. We'll see what happens on the Rantanen front, but some moves in the Predators division potentially that could impact the way things go moving forward here.
What do you think Rantanen, again, this is botched from the start by Carolina, but what do you think Rantanen wants to do? Did he just think that just being on the open market this summer is just going to give him more money?
I think that maybe
look at it that way.
Yeah. Like, I think that may be what he's thinking. And then you have all your options open to you. I can't necessarily blame him there. I mean, the other part of this is like, well, if you're going to do that, you better play well. And quite frankly, since he's come to Carolina, he really hadn't been all that great. Like, I worried about this with Jake Guentzel, and I'm not saying this is happening with Rantanen. Like, sometimes you just, there's some shock where you're traded and that affects you for a little while. But like, I remember when Guentzel got traded last year and I was like, can he play away from Crosby? Turns out he can. He's pretty good away from Crosby. Can Rantanen play away from McKinnon? We'll find out. I think he probably can, but McKinnon's pretty darn good.
Yeah, no doubt. And that is a little bit of betting on yourself. Whereas right now you could, and again, you're talking about with either, in either case, Carolina or Dallas, pretty good situation, right? I mean, like, you got good players around you. You got a chance to win. So I understand the idea of, you know, the open market, you're going to get overpaid in the open market, but there is something to be said for having that security. I don't know. Does he want to, is there a secret plan to just go back to Colorado? Is that
maybe, maybe so. Joe Cam Ward in the building today for the Titans. So they had their 30 visit with Abdul Carter earlier this week. Cam Ward is in the building today. I think Shedeur Sanders, if I remember the Albert Breer piece correctly, is coming in on Sunday night, and then Travis Hunter later in the process here. But Cam Ward in the building today. Big day for the Titans over there.
Yeah. You know, it's obviously if you're doing this, you know, you're serious. And that's why we've been talking all week about, you know, Darnold and all the different things. And is it Ward if they don't do Darnold? Well, I mean, this should be an important piece of information. Yeah, none of this stuff beats out the film. But remember, those combine meetings are 15 minutes. They are capped at 15 minutes. This is an entire day. So you may have gotten into the film some with him, but you couldn't get into it much. It's more like, here, let's talk concepts. Now it's like you can get into – every freaking pass he threw if you want last year. So it's possible that this visit, you know, shifts the Titans one way or the other on the idea of drafting him.
We'll see what happens on that front. Hope everybody has a great weekend. We'll have you covered all day long on NHL trade deadline day here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe is coming up next.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.